Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yes, sir. Mason, you recognize that music?
Oh, yeah.
It's the Mason Crosby Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. My name's Mitch Thunder Nellis, and let's get right to it. Joining us now, it's the music, so he's got to be here. Joining us now on the Mason Crosby Show, he is the current president and CEO of our Green Bay Packers. Mark Murphy is here. Mark, good morning to you.
Oh, thanks. It's great to be here, Mitch. And
whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Jason, always a pleasure to hear from you.
Hey, Mark. Yeah, I really appreciate you jumping on. And I want to first and foremost congratulate you on just such an awesome tenure as the president and CEO of the Packers. And obviously, I've so much appreciation for you with my time there. And, you know, my questions are not going to go sequentially in time, but I do want to jump right to the first one on my mind. And I want to, it is a congratulations, and talk about your honoring at that Monday Night Football game here at the end of the season and what that meant to you and your family. It was so great seeing everybody behind you at that game. And, you know, it was just such a awesome way to honor you and your time with the Packers. What did that mean to you in that moment?
I was very, very, very honored by it, but also humbled. And you're right, to be able to share it with my family. Obviously, my wife was there, but all four kids and all six grandchildren were there, too. No, excuse me, our four-month-old granddaughter did not make it.
She didn't make it.
It might have been too much.
Yeah, you know,
but it
you
got to
make some executive
very
decisions there.
Yeah, and it was a night game, too, so I think that was one of the keys.
Exactly. Well, hey, I always appreciated our conversations and your, you know, candid approach to how you handled things. And, you know, you were always willing to, you know, have those conversations with the players and, you know, talk through things. And I want to dive back to when you first took the job and, you know, all the things that you've accomplished. And I just want to ask, like, when you took the job to be president of the Green Bay Packers, did you have a bucket list of things that you wanted to accomplish? Did you accomplish those? And through your tenure, what, like, did some things change that you thought you might want to do? You know, so I kind of want to run back into time and ask you what your bucket list of ideas were as you took that job, and then how that changed over time, or if it did, and if you accomplished you know, the majority of them.
Well, Mason, I think you and I started the same year.
Yes, we did.
You were I came. You were a rookie in 07.
That's right.
And I started right at the end of the 07 season. Well, you know, I would say, you know, the organization was certainly not lacking or broken when I came in.
For sure.
Started off right in the NFC Championship game and, you know, wanted to kind of build on the success that we'd had. I didn't have a specific plan on things I wanted to do. You know, I think, you know, any leader, any president, I think you really need to get to know the organization before you start trying to make wholesale changes. But, you know, the culture in the organization is just first rate. I mean, it has been, it was before me, and it'll continue on. I'm very confident. I think Ed Paulsy will do a great job. And it's just such a unique, and you know, Mason, you've kind of been around the league enough to know how unique the Packer organization is. And I think it's, you know, we can't take that for granted. That's it's a huge benefit.
It's so unique.
Every team says they want to win, and but for us, it's really, there's no other priority. We don't have an owner that's looking to make a profit or sell the team. So it's really just, what do we need to do to make sure we have success on the field?
Well, that is exactly, you know, kind of where, I was going to lead to, is that you were, I guess, de facto owner. You went to the owners meeting. You had the conversations, obviously, with the Packers, how it's structured. You know, all of our financials, all the decisions made were always public knowledge and on the book, you know, out there for everyone to see. So I feel like, you know, you kind of, your voice was always heard in a different way in those owners situations, because they could kind of see, you know, the business of football from the Packers' perspective. And so, you know, I'd be interested too, like, when was kind of the mindset of, all right, I want to change some of the in-game experience, because my time there, you know, we still had those old screens, and, you know, you've changed those a couple of times. You've added the new end zone. You've made, which didn't have to change. Like, Packers fans were fine with how it was. They loved coming to the games, how it had always been. But you saw this opportunity to put money back into the stadium, into that town, into that district, you know, buying up the land, doing the title district. Tell me about, like, that process and what that means to your legacy there in Green Bay.
Yeah, no, it's, you're right. I mean, for me, you know, the most important asset we have is Lambeau Field, and, you know, making sure that continues on. So a lot of the investments that we've made into Lambeau Field, you can't really see. It's kind of the infrastructure, but making sure that, you know, it continues to serve the organization well. But you're right. I mean, you know, fans have certain expectations when they come to NFL games now. And, you know, I think with the video boards, you know, that was actually one of our stock sales. Two things you mentioned, the South End Zone, that was the stock sale in 2011. And then the video boards, which is about a $50 million investment, you know, was a stock. That's, we're very unique in that we can sell stock. And
that's right.
But that's, you know, but that has to be approved by the league, by the other owners, because other teams can't sell stock the way that we do. You know, but so we have to use it for something that would help the fan experience or help generate revenue that other teams share. And you can't really do it, you know, it can't be something you do on an annual or regular basis. So we've really looked at it. I think every 10 to 15 years we'll have a stock sale. So the next, every generation of fans has a chance to become Packer owners. And Mason, you've seen it. You know, what really, one of the big advantages we have is the way our fans travel to away games.
No doubt.
And I think, you know, the fact that because they're shareholders, because they're owners, they have a much stronger connection to the team than fans of, you know, any other team do.
Yeah, no, definitely, no doubt in that. And then, I want to talk about, like, Titletown District and what kind of that meant for the year-round, like, pilgrimage that happens to Lambeau Field, right? Because, you know, again, when I first got there, you know, some of the renovations, I think they had just redone some of the atrium and things like that, and they were working on those things. But now it's like the pro shop's open year-round. People are always flowing in and out. I'd spent, you know, I was year-round there for, like, my last 8 years in Green Bay. So I would just see, you know, people coming, in February and March, just to be around the building and get the experience. So what did that mean, doing Titletown, doing all those pieces just to kind of allow Lambeau Field to be open to the public year round?
Yeah, well, the big move in terms of Lambeau was when they added the atrium. That was 2003. Before that, it was basically just a stadium that was used 10 times a year. So that was a big move. And then in terms of Titletown, that's we knew that land around the stadium was very valuable. Pretty early in my tenure, we started purchasing land, not really with a specific purpose in mind, but knowing that that it would be valuable, and that at some point we started looking at what kind of things could we do around the stadium. Around that time, probably pretty early in my tenure, we went out. We took a trip to New England to see Patriot Place, what the Patriots had done around their stadium, and I really liked it, but it was really more kind of like a mall next to a stadium. And we wanted something that was really more football focused. And, so that really came, one of the first things, no developer would do this, Mason. We put right in the middle of Titletown, we put a full 100-yard football field.
Oh, yeah.
And so we thought, that people can use it. And you see, kids come, they play, pick up flag football and just throw the ball around and kick field goals and have fun.
Mark, I don't know if you know, but occasionally I would go out there and kick before we were able to report, and I could kick at the facility.
Really? So,
oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
I'd go out there with the kids and, kick the ball around, and my kids love the playground, the all-ability stuff. Like, they could, run and, go up and down the hills and,
time themselves in the 40-yard dash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. You see some old guys pulling hammies out there, but
that's why we have the Bell and Health Sports Medicine Clinic so close to the
exactly.
When you pull a hamstring, you go right over.
Well, that's like another piece too, right? Because they're in Green Bay. You were able to get Bellin, and you were able to get Dr. Anderson, and the level of expertise in a small market like Green Bay is just unbelievable. And it just says a lot to what that space is. Obviously, getting like Kohler Lodge there as well.
Yeah.
I was there for the opening of that and was involved with Kohler through that process. And that just such a great spot. And so for me, that's kind of another piece. Like, you were president CEO of the Packers for so long. It's a small market, but it doesn't feel that way whenever you're around game day with what has been built and done there. What were the unique hurdles and different things that you experienced being involved in such a small market and growing that footprint?
Yeah, we're a small market, absolutely. But you really, when you think of we're the state's team, although you look at Kohler, what their reputation is, it was great. I can tell you some stories about Herb. It was great working with him, but he saw a vision, not only of what we were going to do in terms of Titletown, but what he could add to it. And yes, of course, his son David has been great as well. Great. And then Bell and Health has been a great sponsor. The first really building or first part of Titletown was Hinterland.
Yes.
They'd kind of outgrown the Tresslers had kind of outgrown their space in downtown and wanted to have a brewery in addition that was big enough. And they've been a great, great partner. So we've been very, very fortunate. And, the other thing one of the things, Mason, we did a lot of focus groups and talking to people in the community. And one of the things that kept coming up was the winters are long and cold in Green Bay. Is there something that the Packers could do to help us get through the winters? And that was really the start of the Tubing Hill and the Skating Trail.
Yeah. So great.
And the Skating Trail, the Patriots had something similar to that. And I remember we played there, I think, on a Monday night, many years ago. And, you know, taking a walk and seeing all the people skating. And so that was something that we thought would really go well in Green Bay.
It definitely has made the winters more enjoyable whenever you could go and skate around, slide down, sled down the hill. You could, y'all would do the ice sculpture stuff where, there was a tent, but I'm like, this probably could just stay outside. Like it's, 10 degrees outside. I think everything's good. But that is something that our family misses so much is the Christmas time light projection laser show on Lambeau Field. Like that was always one of our favorite holiday traditions was going and watching that and just getting kind of that energy and excitement for that holiday season.
Yeah, no, it's and Jackie Kurtz and everybody involved with Titletown just they do a great job. Obviously, and Ed Policy was actively involved in the planning for Titletown, but now that it's up and running, and we're still adding things. Mason, I think you haven't been here in a while, but we've got we've got an office building, we've got townhouses now, we've got apartment complex. So it's we talked a lot about it would be a place that people could live, work, and play. And it took us a while to get the living part, but they the working and it's. But I think it's been a nice addition to the community. You don't want to. I do hear periodically from fans that don't change Green Bay. We want to be we don't want to be too glitzy. So I think it's a little bit of a balance. But I think we've done a nice job that really trying to come up with things that would really make a difference in the community.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah, the one miss I think I had in my time there was not buying a piece of property around Lambeau Field. I think there were a few whenever I first got there, like some of those tailgate houses that I think they were selling for like $250,000-$300,000 at the time, and I was like, oh man, all right, I'm a new player, like that's crazy. I'm not gonna buy anything like that. I'm just gonna rent a spot. And then it's like now those places are ridiculous, and obviously anything close to Lambeau is exceptional. And so that kind of leads me to my next question as we kind of head towards the future. And I know this was a big thing that you you always wanted to have, and we have to talk about getting the NFL draft to Green Bay and what that means for the town, what that means for you. Because I know I had conversations for a long time. I remember you talking about that. So what does that mean to you, and how excited are you about having that as kind of your bookend to your time there in Green Bay?
Yeah, well, thanks, Mason. That's something that we really, once the league started, that for years it was always in New York City, they decided to take it on the road, and once they did it, we kind of raised our hands and said, Green Bay would be great place to, for the draft. And the issue was really the size of our market and the number of people that come to the draft and concern about the number of hotel rooms. I think the requirement, they wanted 40,000, and these are kind of estimates, but they wanted roughly 40,000 hotel rooms, and we have 10. So it'll be a different experience. People will be staying up and down 41 and 43.
Yeah.
But we have, we've talked, actually talked with about the possibility of having train service up to Green Bay around the draft. I think that would be great. But then I also, having grown up or lived a lot on the East Coast, having seen how popular and how useful train service is getting up and down from like D.C. up to New York and Boston, I think it'd be great for the community. And we have the National Railroad Museum is Green Bay, and we don't have train service.
We always did Polar Express there, so I was always a little surprised there wasn't a train down to from Green Bay to Milwaukee and down through to Chicago. That just makes sense.
Yeah. That's one of my pet peeves. We got to do that, Mason. Yeah, I'll get you to work on that with me.
So, how many people are y'all estimating coming in for the draft?
$250,000.
Ooh, that's awesome. Yeah. I know my friends up there, everyone that that lives in the city are they're really excited because they're renting their houses. They're making they're paying their mortgage for the next couple of years just renting out their places. So the lack of hotel rooms benefits the homeowners in the area if they're able to find a place to stay and do that. But yeah, it's such an exceptional job. I will say one thing that I was disappointed in is that now the guys get to walk underground with the underground parking that I know that was a work in progress. Y'all had to move so many pipes, all the underground infrastructure that had to be done. I mean, that was like a 5-10 year process just to get that building. But are they enjoying that? How is that new addition with the kind of in the player space since I've been gone?
They appreciate it, and older people in the organization really appreciate
for sure.
Those cold days in January and February. But yeah, we're such a young team, Mason, that very few of our players remember what it was like.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we had temporary parking while they were working on stuff. I've entered that building from every possible angle that I think could be imagined. And always walking out in the elements, which was such a unique experience too, because Green Bay. There were fans always standing at the gate, waiting to say hi, wanting autographs. It didn't matter if it was negative 20 or middle of summer.
Any time of year.
Always there. And it's, it's such a unique place. But yeah, I want to kind of leave you too. You talked about this team and this young team, and obviously we're on the verge of the playoffs, against the Eagles here. How do you think, these last 2 years have gone, and, how do you feel like this week has gone and what this team is looking like heading into this Eagles game?
Yeah. Well, first of all, anytime you make the playoffs in the NFL, that's something to be excited. And, we won 11 games this year. It's funny that, we're the 7th seed both years, but a little different feel this year. I think last year we struggled a lot early, but then we're really playing at a high level at the end of the season and carried it into the playoffs. Obviously, it's different. I think our division is so strong this year; it's phenomenal. I mean,
for sure.
you look at what the Lions and the Vikings and the great thing is we didn't finish playing our best football. Obviously the loss to the Bears in the last game was disappointing. And you've been around enough, Mason, it was one of those things. It wasn't like we had to win. We knew we were in the playoffs. We didn't want players to get injured. There was a chance that we could be the 6th seed and not the 7th seed. So it was a little bit of mixed messages, I think, to some extent. But, the reality is we're in the playoffs, the slate is wiped clean now. And, we wish we would have finished with a couple wins and gotten the 6th seed, but this is where we are. And, you look back on, we played so many close games against good teams,
sure.
including, the game against the Eagles, that seems like that was over a year ago.
It does seem like a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, traveling down to Brazil. And that was a game we were right there. And really, I think only one of our losses this year was more than, a single score. The one of the losses to the Lions. So
that's right.
And again, that it's a lot of it is a young team, with younger players, learning, how to win. What kind of things you have to do to close games out?
For sure. Well, hey, before we let you go, I just want to say,
sure.
The obviously your tenure there, so much success on the field, so many great teams. I think if you look through it, I think I missed the playoffs when we were there together. I think we missed it four times maybe. Obviously one time with LaFleur and in his time. So the success on the field is unmatched. You've really done a great job there. The way that you built Titletown and expanded the fan experience in Lambeau is going to go down, and your legacy is so intact with what you did and how you changed that space and brought that attention to Green Bay. And then being away from the team now for a couple of years, everywhere I go, it's like you run into a Packers fan. The network, it's awesome. I love being out and about. Mitch Nellis, my co-host, we met up in Franklin, Tennessee, and there was a waitress from Appleton, and the bartender downstairs was from Milwaukee, and they're all Packers fans.
So Packers fans are everywhere. Everywhere.
Well, so are you guys familiar with Packers Everywhere?
Exactly. Yeah, it's all over. There's a bar in every town.
Yeah. No, that was my daughter Emily worked for a company called Blue State Digital.
Oh, nice.
And they came to us with the concept for Packers Everywhere. It's so unbelievable good. We'll have a pep rally in Philadelphia on Saturday, and
nice.
There'll be thousands of people there. It's unbelievable. It's funny. I've had owners from other teams ask me about it. And I'm like, well, you can try it, but not many fans. We're just so fortunate that we have so many fans, and they are everywhere.
The demand is there with the Green Bay Packers. So congrats on an awesome tenure as a president. I'm hopefully you get to play a lot of golf in your retirement as you're done with this. And
Mason, I don't know if I'm a golf course owner now.
I do. Up in Door County, correct?
Get Mason some tea times. Let's go.
That's right. I'm going to have to come up and play
Max Welton Braves.
Oh, I love
finest
it.
Golf course. Of course, the only golf course in Bailey's Harbor, but
but the best one. It's the best one. Let's go.
Well, awesome.
I'm looking forward to. Yeah, we just put in they never had an irrigation system, so we just put a new irrigation system in, or an irrigation system that'll really make a difference. You might not get as much roll as you used to, but
soften
the fairways will be green.
I love it. Well, hey, Mark, I really appreciate you jumping on the show, and good luck this weekend. And it was an honor being able to work with you for 16 years, and what a ride we had. So really appreciate you jumping on. And
you're right. So I will have 17 years, and we were in the playoffs 13.
Oh gosh.
So nice. So it's the consistent success is, I think, something we're all proud of. The disappointment is, and I know you share this, just the one Super Bowl. But hopefully we can change that.
Well, that's
We were the sixth seed in 2010 and caught fire.
Exactly. That's the hope for this team, and I know the future is bright with this Packers organization, and you've set them on that path. So I look forward to. I'll be up in Wisconsin, a few times this spring, and we'll definitely have to if the weather cooperates, I'll get out and we'll play Oneida a couple times. So
that sounds good.
All right. Really appreciate it, Mark, and good luck this weekend.
All right. Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah. Thanks.
That's Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy joining us and inviting. It sounded like he really invited all of us out for some tea times.
I think so.
That's what I heard.
Door County action.
Yeah.
I call playing from the senior tees with Mark, okay?
I call playing from the putt-putt tees. I play from the putt-putt.
Y'all can just drive us around. You can drive the cart. Mark likes to walk, though, so he's a walker.
I'll walk and drink. I can walk and drink at the same time. Let's
go. Y'all just flag down the cart.
Have a couple pops while we're walking the course on a beautiful spring day. Absolutely.
I love Door County, so I'm willing to go there anytime.
Great legacy from Mark Murphy. Absolutely, what he did to transform that entire area into truly a destination area where before, like you said, it still has a small town feel, but there are big town things, big city things you can do and there's fun for the whole family, from the ski hill to the football field to Lodge Kohler to all the cool things that are up there.
That it is wild still to think of all, you know, my time up there and just being in that city for so long that the NFL draft is coming there, and an influx of 250,000 people rolling through is going to be unreal. Can't wait to witness it, be a part of it in some capacity, and it's gonna be such a cool legacy that he's gonna leave on that organization.
I do appreciate that at the very end he did admit or agree about that disappointment, because he's right. Like, 13 playoff appearances in 17 years is absolutely fantastic, but one Super Bowl appearance is got to be something that sticks in his craw a little bit. Like, you know, it's
Title Town for a reason. Yep. Like we have that name because of the legacy of winning Super Bowls and obviously winning them in the first years of the Super Bowl. That is always the goal. That is something that everyone expects as fans, as players, as organization. It is when you sit down, you get in that building your first year, your 16th year, whatever, you sit down that first day and it is our goal is to win a Super Bowl. This is Title Town. We have to go do it. So anytime that doesn't happen, it leaves disappointment.
Mark mentioned the pep rally going on in Philadelphia on Saturday. The Packers will be in Philadelphia taking on the Eagles Sunday afternoon in the NFC wildcard round. After the game goes final, make the switch to The Fan for the Green Bay Football post-game show, driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and super producer Tommy Wirtz. Make sure you listen to that Sunday, I'm sure. Whichever way this game goes, that will be must-listen-to radio with Sparky. Speaking of Sparky, though, Sparky today, he's resting up for the weekend, so he's going to be off today. I am stepping in. I am hosting Wisconsin Sports Daily today, so Ross Tucker, NFL insider for Odyssey, will join the show at 2:40. That's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on The Fan. So a little bit more, rumble, a little more thunder today than you may have bargained for. So we'll see how that goes with Charlie Uxen on the other side of the glass this afternoon. But right now, Tommy's here, Mason's here. My name's Mitch Nels, aka Thunder. You're listening to the Mason Crosby Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Notre Dame, Penn State. Ding, ding, little, not really a brouhaha, but some good shade talk.
Oh, yeah.
Going on at the press conference. We'll check that out when we come back.
Let's hear it.